to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. This is day number 15 of our 40 days of prayer and fasting. In James, we're told, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And so as we began this study, I think it was Chris's idea to let's do something that to get us involved in what we're studying about. If we're going to talk about prayer, let's do prayer. Let's be involved in praying together. So we are doing that. And so we're challenging everyone in the congregation for 40 days to be praying. Now, I know already, this is the third Sunday we're into this, day 15, already the fast fade has hit. I mean, we started off and several of you said, well, I'm going to pray every day and I'm going to give my attention to this and I'm even going to try fasting. I've never done it before, but I'm going to try that and I'm going to be praying about these things. Each week we've had something new to pray for, Cowden Elementary, our campus ministry. And today we're starting a week-long prayer effort for our Hispanic ministry. And I hope that many of you are sticking with this and you're praying regularly. I hope you're clipping out of the bulletin what it is we're praying for and putting it in some prominent place in your home as a reminder of these things that we're praying for. But it's all too easy to slip and forget. We're like those sleepy apostles, aren't we, who just can't hang in there. Jesus says, can't you even be there with me just for a short time? And yet three times he went back and found them asleep. Imagine Jesus in his 40 days without food in the wilderness. Today would just be day 15. Imagine having gone for 15 days already and having the majority of your fast still before you. Let's pray as we move forward through these 40 days. Here in Matthew chapter 6, we're looking at the prayer, the model prayer. We talked earlier, it's really a misnomer to call it the Lord's Prayer because he couldn't have prayed this prayer. Because this prayer asked for forgiveness, and Jesus never needed forgiveness. Now, he was showing his followers how to pray. So it's a model prayer, or it's the disciples' prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, and you know that's understandable. But Jesus is teaching them how to pray. We started earlier looking at the beginning, our Father who is in heaven. And tonight we want to look at that next phrase, hallowed be your name. You know what the word hallowed means? It means to make holy. So Jesus prayed, we want to make your name holy. We just sang about the name above all names, praising that name, glorifying that name. The name of God. Did you know that at this very moment, right now, in heaven, there are creatures, and for all of eternity, or at least since those creatures were created, they have been doing one thing and one thing only. In Revelation chapter 4, we read about them. They surround the throne of God, and John said, day and night, they utter nothing but those words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The holiness of God is proclaimed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every year, and has been and will be for all of eternity. Our God is a holy God. His essential character is that of holiness. He lives in an atmosphere of sinlessness. Now, we don't understand that because we live in a sinful world and we dirty ourselves with sin and we become accustomed to sin. But God never, ever has sinned. He's maintained that absolute, pristine purity. Absolute purity. He dwells in light, unapproachable. No darkness there. Our God is a holy God. Therefore, His name is a holy name. It is the single most sacred name that can ever be uttered by human lips. Our Father, God, Lord Almighty. In Psalm 111, verse 9, we're told, "Holy and reverend is His name." Did you know that the ancient Jewish copyists, the Masoretes, back in the between the 7th and the 9th centuries A.D., they were copying out the Old Testament, and that has become the standard text for the Jews of the Old Testament books. And as they would copy that out, they were so careful, so meticulous, and they would write with their pen, and every time they came to the sacred name of God, Yahweh, they would lay their pen down, and they would go, and they would wash their hands. And then they would pick up that pen and write down that sacred name of Yahweh. And then again, lay the pen down, wash their hands again, and then take up the remainder of the text. Every time they came to the sacred name of God, with such reverence they treated it. And that's why it is shocking, dismaying, discouraging in the utmost to have experienced just in my lifetime the increasingly low regard in which God's name has fallen, in which God's name is held by this current generation that we live among. God's name is probably the favorite byword used in modern American culture and parlance. You hear it on television, you hear it on the radio, you see it in the social media, you hear it in the halls of our high schools, you hear it in our workplaces. Used to be that men were cautioned, there are ladies present. Now ladies talk, or at least women talk, in shocking ways, using the name of God. You hear it in elementary schools because children hear their parents using God's name in this way. And people say, "Well, I don't mean anything by it." Well, that's precisely the problem, that you don't mean anything by it. You're using the sacred name of God as if it doesn't mean anything. You're using it like a piece of trash. You utter it and you don't even think about it. You know, it's terrible that we live in a society and we hear it all around us. Anytime someone gets frustrated in the least by anything, whether they're in heavy traffic or they hit their thumb or stub their toe, you hear all kinds of language. You hear the S word and the F word, and you hear God's name placed on the equivalent of those filthy words. God's name treated like those obscene words that we only use the first letters of. I cringe on television at how frequently God's name is used in vain. How frequently the name of Jesus is used as a byword. It's like people are racing to see who can use it most often in a single sitcom episode. And you see it everywhere. OMG. That's the abbreviation for those of you that are older that are not using social media. It's everywhere. Oh my. And then there's God's sacred name plugged in. In Vicky's fourth grade class, she doesn't let children get by with using God's name in vain. Now, that's probably not politically correct, but she corrects the students in her classroom. They hear it from their parents. They see it on television. It's not surprising that they come to school and they use God's name like that. But she tells them, in this classroom, we're not going to use God's name in vain. A little girl came up to her a few years ago and she whispered in Vicky's ear, "Are you a Mormon?" Vicky said, "No, I'm not a Mormon." Now, I don't agree with that religion, but I am grateful that there are parents in this city that are teaching their children to treat God's name with respect. Did you know what the Ten Commandments contains in this regard? Did you hear the passage that was read for us at the beginning? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, "You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." Folks, this is a big deal. This is not just some little thing. This is one of the Ten Commandments, and this is the one commandment where God says, I will not hold you guiltless if you misuse my name. A name is important. You wouldn't want someone using your name as a filthy byword. How much less the God of the universe who's holy. God's name is to be honored. It's to be reverenced. It is to be revered. It is to be a blessing, not a curse. Never an expletive deleted. You know, we have become calloused to this. And we allow this in our hearing when we don't have to. We allow filthy mouth people to enter our homes and blaspheme our gods, and we'll sit there and put up with it through our televisions when we would not dare let those people walk through our front door and talk like that at our dinner table. And too many parents allow Hollywood to babysit their children, and then they're shocked at the language that comes out of them. George Washington penned a letter to his generals during the Revolutionary War. And he was concerned as a God-fearing man about this very habit of using the name of God in vain. Listen to the words, and I quote from his letter. The general is sorry to inform that the foolish and wicked practice of cursing, a vice heretofore little known in the American Army, is growing in fashion. It is hoped that the officers will, by example as well as by influence, endeavor to stop it. We can have little hope of the blessing of heaven if we insult God with our speech. This is a vice so mean and so low that every man of sense and character despises it. Can you imagine the response if that notice were posted in the barracks of the military bases around this country and around this world? Can you imagine the response of men and women to that notice? They would laugh it to scorn. The filthy language today. We have a phrase that even is associated with sailors, curse like a sailor. I'm grateful that there are Christian sailors, and not everyone has a gutter mouth, a filthy mouth. But I am dismayed at the filthy state of this nation. And just as George Washington said, how can we expect the blessing of God when we as a nation daily profane His holy name? I'm grateful for those who honor God and who honor His name. I'm grateful to know that today in the midst of this blaspheming nation, people have gathered to praise that name and to honor that name and to glory that name, and that there are those who this day have prayed, Hallowed be Your name. Did you know that prayer begins by honoring the name of God? Look over at the 113th Psalm. This is just a classic example of how to employ this model in our prayer life. You want to pray like Jesus taught us to pray? Then look at some of the Psalms and look at the way they honored the name of God as they began their prayers. In the 113th Psalm, whoever wrote this, it's not attributed to anyone, whoever wrote this Psalm began with this word, Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. You pray that prayer. You let those words come from your lips as you begin your prayer in the morning, as you begin to ask God for help. First begin by praising His glorious name, exalting His name. Psalm 8 is another beautiful example. We put that one to words in song. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Go through and read the Psalms. Find some of those that express this sentiment of praising God's holy name and incorporate that kind of language into your prayer life. You know, cursing and swearing is a bad habit. It's a bad habit. It's a sign of a poor vocabulary. It's a sign of a lack of education. When you begin to use all kinds of gutter language. But let me tell you, you move into a whole new league when you begin to use the name of God in that kind of language. That's different again from just using swear words. When you begin to bring God into the equation, you move into a dangerous, dangerous level of language. God will not hold him guiltless who misuses the holy name of God. Now, let me just say to you, because I know that there are, well, I'm not even going to use the word probably, I know that there are those here tonight who have been influenced by our society, and you see it on television, and you slip and you're saying that, and some of you here tonight have been using God's name in vain. Now, let me explain to you this. You're only going to be able to break that terrible habit if you get some help. So don't just try to run away from everyone and not let anyone hear you. Find someone. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's one of your good friends in the youth group. Maybe it's someone that lives close to you or works close to you. Ask someone to help you. Hold you accountable and let them know. I know some offices used to, they don't do it much anymore. They used to have swear jars, and they made everyone throw a quarter in the jar every time they said an ugly word. And they were trying to help break that habit. Find someone that you can trust that's around you a lot. And if you have the habit of using God's name in vain, break that habit quickly. Have someone that'll remind you every time you do it so you can stop doing that forever. And use God's name only in a positive way. You know, it's tragic because in the book of Revelation, one of the final pictures that the Apostle John sees of those who've been thrown into the lake of fire in torment are those who use God's name in vain. God said, I won't hold them guiltless. Listen to this. Revelation 16:9. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, and they refused to repent and glorify Him. You know how you repent of using God's name in vain? You start using it in the right way. God wants you to use His name. God wants you to mention His name freely and regularly, but He wants you to use it in the right way. Honor Him, pray to Him, praise Him, praise that name. Don't use it as a curse word and a byword. Prayer begins with praise of God in His name. So use that name in that way. I hope that we as God's people will stand out like stars in the darkness by our language. And let me tell you, there are a few things that will distinguish you any more quickly in this perverse world we live in than for you to have clean language, because nearly everybody uses bad language anymore. Nearly everybody uses God's name in vain anymore. And for you to honor the name of God, for you to use clean language, for you to use a correct vocabulary in describing what you're going to say, sets you apart from all those who dishonor God by their language. Did you know we're going to be judged by every idle word? Jesus says that. Every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth, we will stand before God, and God will ask us, what did you mean by that? Why did you use my name? Of all the names you could have used, why did you use my name that day out there on battlefield? Why did you use my name when you were laughing and talking dirty and smutty? Why did you bring my name down to that level? Every idle word we will give an account for, and God will not hold those guiltless that proceed in using His holy name in this way. I just hope and pray that this is something that we can all forever eradicate from our vocabulary, and that God's name will only ever come as praise from our lips. Hallowed be thy name. As we learn to pray this week, pray in honor God's name. Praise Him for that wonderful name as you pray this week. If tonight you have never named that name, it is the highest name. Jesus has been given the highest name. It's only through Him that we'll come to the Father. And if tonight you need to submit your will, if you need to repent of this particular sin we've talked about tonight, you may want to come down here and ask for prayer, or you may want to just stand where you are and ask God to forgive you and help you to clean up your language. I hope you'll do that. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Count the soul may cleanse it be, the source open fast. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to the grief I cannot tell. No words shall needed be. Thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me. O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee. I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine, ever thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King. To thee, my Savior and my King.
Be seated, please. Thank you, Brother Joe, for the lesson. We've got a good crowd.